It's top of the line. All the options. The only thing it can't do is fly.
No, I'm just licking. This one is way out of my price range.
Oh, see, now there's your problem. Price range is really just a frame of mind. The facts are that you work hard. You deserve this. And God wants you to be happy.
Yeah, appreciate your enthusiasm, but God never said that. Hey, did you know that a new car salesman loses 30% of his value the second he leaves the lot? Yeah, true facts. Google it.
All right, good morning to you. We're glad that you're here today. I want to give credit to Life Church. They developed this this video and this whole thought that we're going to be looking at over this next few weeks. And it's a great thought, really, that God never said that. And here's what we're going to do over the next 4 weeks, okay? We're going to look at four particular different cultural beliefs, things that the world tells us or mistakenly thinks that God said. Okay, like next week, you don't want to miss next week. We're going to look at how God never said that He'd give us more than we could handle. You remember that passage? And we're going to look at that. You know, third week we're going to look at that it doesn't matter what you do as long as you don't hurt someone. You know, a lot of people live that way. It really doesn't matter, you know, what I do as long as I'm not infringing on someone else's rights or someone else's life or someone else's happiness. And then the fourth week, and it's probably the most important, we're going to look at that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Have you ever heard that? A lot of people think that God said that. Really, you know, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. And today we're going to begin on this idea of happiness. Specifically, what if I were to say to you, God's first priority is not for you to be happy. If I were to say that to you this morning, you would right away know that is not true. You know, we would much rather for us to realize and for us to know that God is so much concerned about a lot of other things. So that's where we're going to go today. So I want to begin with a word of prayer. Okay, so would you pray with me? Father in heaven, thank you for this awesome morning that you've given us. God, I pray that you bless us as we investigate, as we think about what your word has to say about this subject. Lord, may we not buy into the lie of the world that the most important thing about us and about who we are and about who you want us to be is that we always experience happiness, that we always experience joy. And dear Lord, I just ask that you would help us this morning to know from your word what that's really all about and what that looks like for us in life. Teach us, God, now from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I got a passage of scripture here I want to share with you. I'd like to do it this way, okay? Would you just stand up with me? Stand up with me right where you are. And I want you to look at this passage of scripture. It comes from Psalms. It says Psalm 97:12, the NLT. It says, may all who are godly be happy. Can you say that with me? May all who are godly be happy. Once more. May all who are godly be happy. Now, am I the only one in here that has a desire to dance right now? You know? Come on, if you want to dance, you can do it a little bit. You know this song? You can sit down. Some of you are so uncomfortable right now. You know, it's like, oh my goodness, what is he? We're in church, for goodness sakes. Don't ask me to move, right? Do you know this song? Okay, raise your hand if you know this song. Pharrell Williams, he's one of the judges on The Voice. It was so amazing because I did this first service, of course, and I said, how many of you know this song? And like crickets. Nobody ever even heard the song. So I'm glad that you've at least heard the song. This is the anthem of our day, okay? Matter of fact, I was talking to one of our teenagers, and she told me that she had a teacher in school that played this song every day as they came into class, you know? Clap your hands if you know happiness is the truth. Every day. This is the anthem of our day. But here's the thing, folks. God never said that the most important priority for him is for us to be happy. For us to be happy. God wants so much more than that. Matter of fact, it says it right here. May all who are godly be happy. You know that there is a theology of happiness that I think a lot of people ascribe to today. Let me give you 3 points here about the theology of happiness. Number one, whatever makes me happy must be right. Whatever makes me unhappy must be wrong. You know, there's people that believe this. There's people that believe this, that it really doesn't matter anything else in life as long as we're happy. And if we're happy, then it's right. And if we're not happy, then it's wrong. Here, look at the second one. Here's the second part of this theology of happiness. Any discomfort, any delay, any risk, any suffering, any inconvenience, any obstacle, if I experience any of these things in life, then it can't be God's will. You know, we live in a culture, we live in a time that says, you know what? We trust God, we love God, everything's gonna line right up. And anytime I have a discomfort, anytime I have a sickness or disease, anytime I ever ask God for something and it's not answered right away, anytime my life is put at risk, anytime I experience any suffering, anytime even any inconvenience, any obstacle in my way, then something's wrong. And most of the time we think something's wrong with God, because if God were really who he said he was, then we wouldn't experience any of these things. And here's the third thing. Here's the outcome of living by this kind of theology of happiness. Because even without knowing it, what happens is that we begin to worship the false gods of comfort and money and pleasure and things. Think about it. When we believe above all else that God wants us happy, suddenly we're forced to believe that God exists to serve us. That we have to understand that we don't want to miss this, that's who God is and that's what he wants to do for us. God, listen folks, God does not exist to serve us. We exist to serve him. Let me say it again. God doesn't exist to serve us. We exist to serve him. If God is there to make me happy, suddenly we reduce the Creator into something less than what he intends to be for us. Matter of fact, I think what happens a lot of times, we just turn God into this giant cosmic vending machine, you know, is my friend Alan here this morning? Maybe he'll be in third service. I got a Pepsi machine up because he works for Pepsi, okay? But, you know, you go up to a vending machine, what do? You go up to a vending machine and you peruse what's in there. And you see some things that you really like. You see some things that you really don't like. You know, you look here and you make choices and you only push the button of the things that you really want to have and desire for in your life. We're like that with God. You know, our kids downstairs, they have a pop machine, right? Got a pop machine downstairs, and I went down there one day, I'm getting something, and I put it in there, and one of the buttons said, surprise. And I said, I'm not pushing that. I don't want a surprise. I want a Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi. I don't want a surprise. You know, I don't want to all of a sudden to be confronted with a Dr. Pepper, you know, or a Fanta orange drink. Or for goodness sakes, a Lipton tea. Isn't that the nastiest tasting stuff you've ever tried to drink? I don't want a surprise. I mean, you get out of a vending machine what you want. And that's the way we are with God. And all of a sudden, if something comes back from him that we didn't desire, that we didn't want, that we didn't ask for, that we didn't have room for in our life, all of a sudden we think something's wrong with God. You see, literally without knowing it, that's what we do. We reduce God to some kind of formula. We say things like this to God. God, I said my prayers. I went to church. I put a few extra bucks in the offering. Therefore, my headaches should go away. You know, God, I prayed to you. I asked for the things that were important to you. You know, therefore, my loan should be approved for my house. We look at God as that kind of formula. And here's the tragedy of thinking about God in that way. It's because of many people, and maybe you or I, we've done this too. Many people walk away from God because they say he's not making them happy. He's not bringing them happiness. He's not causing the things to come about in their life that they really want out of life. Here's the point, folks. God doesn't want you to pursue happiness. He wants you to pursue him. God doesn't want you to pursue happiness. He wants you to pursue him. So here's what I want to do over the next few moments. I want to dispel a couple of the big, dangerous cultural myths about God and about happiness. And I want to do that by saying to you that God doesn't want you to be happy when. Okay, here's the first one. God doesn't want you to be happy when it causes you to do something wrong or unwise. Now, let me say that again. God doesn't want you to be happy when that causes you to do something wrong or unwise. Let me say it a different way. When it causes you to do something sinful or stupid. Right? I mean, when we engage in behavior, when we engage in an activity that's wrong, that's sinful, or just plain unwise, or even dumb or stupid. And all of a sudden we think that God should march right along and cause these things to happen in our lives simply because He wants us to be happy. No, God wants us to be faithful first. God wants us to be holy first. Let me give you, for instance, a couple things. Some years back, I ran into a young man, and I had performed his wedding ceremony some years before. And I'd kind of lost touch with them, and I saw him, and I said, "Hey, how's it going?" He said, "Oh, it's going great." And I said, "Hey, how's," and I mentioned his wife by name. And he said, "Oh, we split up." Really, I'm sorry to hear that, you know. And I began to talk because here, you know, I'd invested some time in this couple. I'd talked to them about marriage. I'd counseled them about marriage. I'd talked to them about how marriage is a covenant, how it's not a contract, how marriage was God's idea, is one of God's best ideas. I'd spent a lot of time talking and praying about this. And all of a sudden, I didn't realize that their marriage had broken up. And here I am with this young man. How so and so? He said, "Oh, you know, we split up." And I began to question, you know, what happened? When did it happen? How did it happen? Why did it happen? I was concerned. And he said something to me I'll never forget. He looked at me and he said, "Well, you know, basically, we just weren't happy. Just weren't happy." You know, I had another conversation with someone some years back, and it was actually before the marriage broke up, and this guy was going to be leaving, and I, you know, was like, "You know, why, you know, you shouldn't do this. Get some help. Let me make you an appointment with a counselor, da-da-da-da-da." And, you know, same thing. "Well, I know that God wants me to be happy." Right? That's what we say. And let me tell you something, folks. God, our happiness is not God's first priority. God doesn't want us to pursue happiness. He wants us to pursue Him. And He doesn't want us to be happy when it causes us to do something wrong or unwise, sinful or stupid. God doesn't want you happy when it causes you to do something that is contrary to His will. God doesn't want you to be happy when it causes you to do something dumb or sinful, wrong or unwise. It happens over and over and over again. And here's the thing, folks. We should understand that God feels that way. You see, here's the fundamental problem with so many people believing that kind of lie. Scriptures say that it teaches us to be holy. You know, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 tells us that God calls us to be holy. And then as He is holy. And sometimes I think what we do is we interject that. You know, God calls us to be happy. No. He doesn't say God calls us, God wants us, God desires us to be happy. He says God wants us, God calls us, God desires for us to be holy. But yet, practically, that's how some of us live. The Bible teaches us that just as God, who called us, is holy, that we are to be holy, set apart in all that we do. Yet we change that so very often. Here's the second thing. God doesn't want you happy when it causes you to do something wrong or unwise. God doesn't want you happy also when it's only based on the things of this world. Think about that, folks. So many times, that's exactly what we do in life. It's all about this world. I'll give you a great example of it. You know, Arlene and I were traveling not too long ago, and we had had lunch, and I was enticed by a piece of red velvet cake with this icing on it. I was like, oh. Now listen, I was so full, I was so satisfied. But just like the things of the world, we are enticed by things that we probably know we shouldn't indulge in, but yet we do that. And I remember distinctly, you know, going up, we were actually in an airport. So I went up and I paid $7 for one piece of cake. And as I got the first bite and the second bite, your muffin is so much better this morning, Claire. The first bite, and then the second bite is like, I'm so full, it didn't even taste good. I did not want it. And I'm thinking, okay, I just paid $7 for one bite of one piece of cake. But yet before I got it, it was like, oh man, that looks so good. That smells so good. You see somebody else eating it. Man, I really want a piece of that. And you're too embarrassed. You don't know them. You're not going to ask them for a bite. You know, you say to your wife or to somebody you're with, you know, can I share a piece of cake with you, and she's smarter, more dedicated than you. No, I really don't want anything. And then you get it, and it's like, okay, why couldn't I feel that way 5 minutes ago? That I knew that it wasn't good for me, that I knew that I really didn't want it. I knew that I was being enticed by something other than good common sense. See, and that's what we do. That's what the world does for us. And God doesn't want us to be happy when it's simply based on the appetite of this world. Here, I'll give you another example. You got a job. You don't like your job. Matter of fact, you even hate your job, but you've got a wife, you got three little kids, and all of a sudden you're going into work one day and you think, you know what, today I'm going to walk into my boss's office and I'm going to tell him what to do with his job. Have you ever had this feeling at all? And regardless of the amount of good common sense that you have, all of a sudden you convince yourself that today should be the day that you just quit. You got a wife, you got a kids, you got mortgage, you got all this stuff, and all of a sudden the world is telling you that it would be right just to walk away from all, you know, to just throw it all away. Here's another example. Think about this. You know, premarital sex. I mean, if you're a believer, I'm a believer, we're followers of Jesus. I hope that we understand that sex is reserved inside of a committed marital relationship. That was God's plan. But you know what? I've seen so many Christians that just can't overcome that urge, that temptation of the world, of the flesh. And they rationalize, you know, well, we're both Christians and we love the Lord and we're married in God's sight anyway. And, you know, I can't do anything about this. I'm a man. I'm a woman. I have desires. I don't know how to overcome this. And so we just go in. God doesn't want you happy when it's only based on the things of the world. I mean, I could make a long list. You know, entertainment. We do this all the time. You know, we go to things. We listen to things. We go to movies. You know, I was just amazed at how many people on Facebook, Christian people, were defending the 50 Shades of Grey movie. you know, as some kind of good cinema. You know, we go and we, you know, we do this with alcohol, you know. We understand all of the evils of it and where it can lead and everything, but yet we not only indulge, we overindulge. And we rationalize in our lives that for me it's okay. I mean, basically, folks, we can be entertained by sin, by filth, by pure filth, by funny but pure filth. And it's like, well, it's probably not honoring to God, but it's so funny. And nobody in here knows me. We go on and on and on. You see, folks, God doesn't want you happy if that's what it takes for you to get to that point. Now listen, I know, you know, we could make a list even much longer than that. But this world will take us so very far away from God if we allow it to do that. Have you ever done this? I'm an early riser a lot of times, and one morning I got up and I was on I was watching TV. I was looking for the sports or whatever, and this one channel caught my eye. And all of a sudden, in a 15-minute period, I was picking up the phone to order knives. Right, you ever done that? How many of you have a Snuggie? Come on, let's admit it, all right here. You know, we see things, the world shows us things, and it's like you don't know happiness until you get this, whatever this thing is. See, that's the way the world does for us. See, here's the formula that culture tells us is true. You know, basically, better possessions, newer possessions, faster, shinier, bigger, whatever else, plus peaceful circumstances, the absence of conflict, thrilling experiences, the perfect vacation, the fun experience, the big hit, the big thrill, plus the right relationship. And then all of a sudden, we find ourselves in this place that we call happiness. When in reality, I'm not even sure that we even know what the term blessed really means. You know what it means to be blessed? You know, if you look at this in the Bible, the Greek word that is translated blessed literally means more than happy. More than happy. So that's the point, folks. God wants us to experience more than happiness. But what we have to know is that it comes in this wonderful relationship with Him and not anything else. Recently, our youngest daughter asked me for a particular gift. And of course, I got it for her, and I told her, I said, hey, when we come and see you, we'll bring it. So I bought this gift. And then I thought, you know what, instead of her waiting a month or 2 months or however long it's going to be before we see her again, I said, I'm going to mail it to her. So unbeknownst to her, I packaged this gift up with a little note that said, you know, from Mom and Dad, we love you. And unbeknownst to her, we sent it off into the mail. And then a few days later, she sent me back a picture of her holding this gift. Actually, it was just a pair of sandals. But she was putting the sandals on, and she took her picture, and the caption said, "One happy girl." And you know, when I saw that picture as a father giving a gift, something my daughter wanted, seeing her enjoyment of that, I thought, yeah, that's nice. It's just a nice feeling. And listen, folks, God loves it when we're happy. God has a tremendous feeling inside of Himself when we experience happiness. But you know what else? When I saw that picture of my daughter, what really made me joyful was the life she was living, you know, the things that she was doing, knowing that she was loving God, knowing that she was happy and serving Him and working hard and all these kinds of things. I mean, think about it, folks. All of us have experienced something with our children where we're so disappointed in them. And we don't love them any less when we're disappointed in them. But when they make us proud and when we're able to give them good and wonderful gifts, it's just a joy beyond measure. And God experiences that with me and you. God wants us to know that He loves that when we're happy. But He also wants us to know that that's not His number one priority. That His number one priority is not that we experience true happiness and bliss in this life. It's something more than that. Listen to what He says, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Listen to this. He says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them." Let me just pause here for a moment and just allow that to sink inside of you. And if that doesn't convict you, it should convict us. It should convict all of us to know what it means to be in this wonderful relationship with God where we love Him and we love Him more than this world. Arlene and I had an experience not long ago. It's one of these things where, you know, the planets were lining up just right and, you know, this is going on and there was this talk out in the world that things may be lining up for the end of the world, right? Have you heard this? I've done this several times the last few years. And we were sitting at the dining room table and we're talking about this and, you know, where there might be a conversation going on somewhere. It's like, oh my goodness, the world may end. Arlene and I were like, that'd be awesome. You know, I mean, we're grown, we're happy, we're healthy, we've seen our grandson, our kids are in a good place. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. This would be a great time to come right now. You see, folks, that's what happiness is. Happiness is not understanding that things happen to you in the world that are good or right or exciting or exhilarating or joyful. It's having a relationship with God, being blessed by God in such a way that the world makes sense. You see, above all else, God's highest calling for you is not your happiness. It's your faithfulness. It's your holiness. It's your relationship that you have with Him. Listen, folks, I'll tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, God wants you blessed. But most people, when they hear those words, what it means is more money, perfect health, and so on and so forth. When in reality, what God means, what He says that He wants you to be blessed, is for you to have the proper perspective, the proper outlook on life. Look at this verse, Psalm 37, verse 4. He says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." You see, everybody wants the desires of their heart. But do you want to live the kind of life that delights, that God is delighted in you and how you're living for Him? Man, I love that word delight, don't you? I love that word. It comes from a Hebrew word. The word is anog. The Hebrew word, like almost, you know, any of this kind of study, there's depth, there's texture, and what it means is that your life is soft and pliable to your Creator. In other words, to delight yourself in the Lord is to put yourself in a position where God can mold you, where God can shape you. And listen, you are molded and shaped not by just the joy, not by just the blessings, but by the struggle and by the difficulties in life as well. So we invite them. We say, "God, listen, You know me better than anybody else. You love me more than anyone else. Therefore, whatever comes my way, I know that Your hand either brought it or could have stopped it. So either way, God, I am going to trust in You." And you know what, folks? If you and I, if we live that kind of life before Him, our life will be blessed beyond measure. There will not be a question as to whether or not we are happy or joyful or whether or not we are blessed. We will know we are, even though sometimes life is difficult. So you know what, folks? As we leave this place today, you're going to encounter some people that that have turned their back on God because they don't think that God has brought them happiness and joy. Let's allow God to use our lives and every experience in our life to be an example of His goodness and of His grace. And may we never think that God, your number one desire is to make me happy. But His number one desire is to help you live a life that understands true joy and how that's found in a beautiful, dynamic relationship with Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I ask that this morning that you would help us to really depend on you for all things. God, it's so easy to get stuck in a rut in life where we do things for the wrong reasons. And whether bad choices or really unfortunate circumstances, Lord, we find ourselves in a position that is less than happy, less than joyful. But God, I pray that through our godly behavior, through our living a life of holiness, through our desire to be a delight to you, Lord, that we find true joy and true happiness and contentment in this life. And Lord, right now in this area of worship, I pray that all of us would be able to sing this song from the bottom of our heart and really understand and desire this beautiful place in you. That Lord, you never said that your number one priority was to make us happy. God, we've bought into that lie of the world. But I pray, Lord, that through every circumstance that life brings our way, even Lord, dumb choices made by us individually, Lord, may you even use those to bring us back around and teach us something wonderful and valuable that'll benefit us in our life of service to you. Father, may it be so, and may we sing it proudly, and may we sing it loudly to the rafters and to the roof and to the world of how awesome and how great that you are. In Jesus' name, amen.